Welcome to the Don't Panic Podcast. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, everybody.
And don't you forget, nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
And we're not rolling.
No.
And we're not huffing.
Nope. We're puffing. But well, no, thinking, not even puffing. That sounded wrong. I'm going to strike that from the record. I am not huffing.
Huffing and puffing.
That's just me going up the stairs.
Old.
You should see Grocery Day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, there are certain things as you get older you don't think you'll have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so those of you listening on Radio Free Indy, you just heard the Don't Chopped. Don't chop my liver.
That's it. Don't chop my liver, bro.
It's the Chopped Liver guys, followed by the Ow, My Liver Hurts guys of the Don't Panic radio show.
That is correct. I'm pretty sure my liver is the size of a golf bag by now.
Every time I get a little pain in my back, I go, oh, I wonder if that's my liver.
It probably is.
I don't know. So anyway, when you can't say you've been drinking your whole life unless you drink your whole life. That's my only point. And my other point is there are certain things you don't think you're going to have to deal with when you get to a certain age.
Right.
One of them is, I thought, okay, aside from hover cars and floating cities, I thought that I would have relationships all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I certainly knew that I had marriage figured out, because there's only one, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one secret to marriage.
And what's that? Do you know it yet, or are you still looking for it?
I do. Okay. No, I do. It's commitment. Or it's fish or cut bait. It's shit or get off the pot.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So if it ain't working, there's really, it's like you've said numerous times, if there's any doubt, there is no doubt.
That's right. I can't take credit for that quote, but I use it constantly for everything.
So if you've come to the decision that it ain't working, be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that it's working or it can work and you are good with it, just be committed. That's it.
Yeah, the problem with that though is the term committed also applies to insane asylums. But please continue with your secret.
No, I'm done.
Oh, you okay. Yeah.
So I was driving back from Iowa. I didn't tell you this. I was driving back from... This has nothing to do with marriage.
Mm-hmm. It probably does, because if I remember right, you went to Iowa with your wife.
It does have something to do with marriage. Well, it certainly has something to do with getting old. things that you don't expect to have happen
once you
get to a certain age.
So now we're back on track.
Right. So I'm driving back from Iowa by myself. I'm driving, like, this is like a 9-hour road trip by myself. So I'm listening to every podcast. I got satellite radio. I'm trying out genres I didn't even know existed. And there's a lot of construction. It's summer time, so it's construction season.
Yeah, construction season.
And I'm one of those guys that
I get
ticked off when people speed through construction zones.
Right.
Because there are dudes out there just trying to make a living.
Yeah.
And there's a speed limit for a reason.
Right.
It's not like out in the middle of nowhere.
That speed.
I got to turn your volume up.
All right.
I'm going to do that. So it's not like you're out in the middle of nowhere and the speed limit's 55 and you're like, that's bullshit. I can go 70 safely, right?
Right.
It's construction zone. There are family men out there and family women and family transgender, family pre-op.
All right. If there pre-op are if there are any if there are any family pre-op transgenders listening, contact the show because I want to do an interview with you.
That's a good idea, especially if you work construction.
Yeah, especially if you work construction.
And either way, I don't care. Man to woman, woman to man, man to different kind of man.
Dog to sheep. I don't care what it is, or she is, or he is.
Hey, you know that? I just thought of something people don't talk about.
What's that?
What if you want to have a gender reassignment surgery,
mm-hmm.
but you're not interested in totally going to the other gender? You just want to be a man who's a little less masculine, or vice versa. Maybe you feel like you're a little too feminine, and you want to be a little more masculine.
Well, you don't have to have surgery. Just go buy a gun.
I feel like I'm a pre-op Guido.
Pre-op Guido?
Yeah, or pre-op prom king. Anyway, so I'm driving back, and...
Yeah, why weren't you prom king, dude? You could have nailed it. Fuck.
I could have nailed the prom queen. There you go. Right there. See what I did?
That's all right. There'll be a rim shot on that one.
I didn't even run for prom king.
Why didn't you?
I couldn't... I don't know. Why not? I mean, would I have... Did you know me in high school?
Yeah,
what makes you think I could have been prom king?
Well, because you used to get mistaken for... By the way, this is totally staying in the show. You used to get mistaken constantly for like the fucking captain of like the goddamn basketball team, who I think was prom king at some time. So you had a shot.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, well, because I want you to relive. Like, memories from, like, 20 years ago.
I look at pictures of me from back then, and you, by the way. And I look at
us. Why are you looking at pictures of me back then?
Well, because we were in a lot of pictures together.
Well, that's true. As long as you're not, like looking at, like, pictures of me just, like, you know, with long-range telephoto lenses.
Well, I look at pictures of us, and I go, what the fuck? We were good-looking dudes.
We still are.
We still are. But my point is, now we know it. Back then, at least I didn't know I was good-looking. I don't know if you knew you were good-looking.
Yeah, I've always
Hell,
been.
I didn't know I've you were good-looking.
I've always known.
I remember this one time. I used to go every Thursday night to the Christian Skate over at United Skates of America.
I think that's closing now, by the way.
I better get over there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read an article.
I just remember every Thursday night I'd go over there, and there was this one dude, I think he went to Elston or something, because I didn't know him from high school, but we were only friends because of Christian Skate Night, and he was a really good skater. Mm-hmm. I was okay. I mean, I didn't fall down a lot or anything,
right?
But he was good. He could skate backwards, frontwards, dance while skating, all that stuff. And he's like, one day he's like, dude, neither one of us are getting chicks, all right? So here's what we got to do. We have to figure out a way to combine my skating ability with your looks. Because if we could do that, we'd get all kinds of chicks. And I was like, have you seen me? What do you mean my looks? I don't know. Something happened early on, and I thought I was... I think it was that girl in Krieger. Remember that?
Which
I was
one?
Walking down the hallway at Krieger and accidentally bumped into her, and she was like an 8-foot-tall black girl. And she just turns around and goes, hey, ugly white boy, what you doing running into me? I will kick your ass.
Yes, I remember that.
What I should have said was, ugly white boy? Who you calling ugly white boy? My mom was black.
I would have been like, who you calling white?
Exactly.
She'd have been like, she wouldn't know what to say after that. She would have walked away.
Yeah.
See,
my point is, I'm driving back from Iowa.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the middle of Illinois. Construction zone is coming up. So, of course, being Dudley Do Right, I'm going to slow down for the construction zone.
Did you eat your peas with a knife, though?
Oh, In this case, I did.
Oh, okay.
In this case, I did. Because the construction zone started sooner than I thought. So while I was slowing down from 70 on my way down to 55, because I figure construction zone's probably 55, there's a cop sitting there. And he pulled me over.
Ah.
And you know that feeling. There's a certain feeling when you see the cop pull out, there's a split second of maybe it's for somebody else. And then as he gets closer, you're like, oh, and you get that adrenaline sort of weird stomach feeling.
Right.
And then his lights come on. And you know me, when it comes to cops, man, I know my rights.
Right.
And no motherfucking cop is going to get up in my grill when I knew I was doing the right speed.
Right.
I knew I was in the speed limit.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck he was thinking, but he's going to, I mean, he is going to hear it from me, and I ain't telling him anything unless he wants to detain me, take me to the station and read me my rights.
You're like that.
Pull me out of this car.
That's right.
Slam me down on this highway right here, and I'm going to record the whole thing or have somebody record it. And I'll see him in court, motherfucker. This is what I'm.
You're like the I don't answer questions guy. You just give him your ID.
I don't answer questions.
I don't answer questions.
Am I being detained?
Am I being detained?
Am I free to go? So he walks up to the window, and I roll down the window, and so I said, "Hello, officer," and he says, "How fast do you think you were going?" I said, "Oh. Well, sir, about 60? He says, "I clocked you at 65. And I said,
Yeah.
And he
But in your head, you're all like, motherfucker.
I was like the person in the passenger seat of when Chris Rock did that public service announcement of how not to get your ass beat by the police.
Right.
I was like the person in the passenger seat. He got weed. He got weed.
He got weed.
So he says,
"Your own worst enemy."
He says, "What do you think the speed limit was?" And I was like, 65. He's like, "No, it's 45. And that's when I was gonna like get all up in his shit. And I said, "Oh." And he said, "Give me your license and registration." I said, not registration, insurance information.
All right.
So I said, sir, it's over here. Can I get it?" So long story short, he gave me a ticket, and I apologized to him and asked him if there's anything else I could do for him. And then he left. And that, my friend, is how you deal with the police.
That's right.
But anyway, I thought
doing your job.
It's been 8 years since I got pulled over.
Really?
8 years. So I'm good till 2023 now.
That's right. Well, no, because you're getting older, see. And older people tend to drive faster or slower. So you can go either way. I like Seinfeld's joke. When you get past like 60, you should be allowed, regardless of speed limit, you should be allowed to drive your age. Because you might not make it. You know? You might not make it.
I want to drive faster than 46.
That's right. I had a funny experience years ago with a couple of dudes that you know and love. And this was, I'll show how long ago this was. I was like the only one old enough to like buy alcohol, and I'll say their name. Now, the second one is has one of the highest IQs in the tri-state area. He's just smarter than shit. Well, we got a bottle, or I should say, I bought a bottle, and we went to the beach and we hung out. And then what we did every Saturday was, after we got good and drunk, we went to McDonald's and bought a shit ton of hamburgers, because that's what we did. Well, I got this shopping bag full of hamburgers, and we're all drunk. Now, keep in mind, I'm the only one old enough to drink. And, like, we get pulled over. Now, by this time, we've consumed, like, all but, like, one hamburger in the bag in a three-minute time span.
What did you get on the hamburgers?
They were just the plain. Yeah, they were just the plain hamburgers. Mock beef, a little ketchup. Pickle mustard ketchup, yeah. Well,
onion.
Yeah, they were like the 2 cent hamburgers that McDonald's was doing at the time. And, yeah. You know, that are probably still in me somewhere. But and not even in a good way.
I want you in me. What I say to hamburgers. I want you in me.
That's right.
I want you to be inside of me.
I want you inside of me. Anyway, so this cop pulls us over because the driver has the taillight out. And it was a motorcycle cop, and she's standing there in the window with the flashlight. And she's talking to us, and the driver's, like, being cool as a cucumber.
Oh, chick.
Yeah.
Hagan, hold on. This is very important. It was a chick motorcycle cop.
Yeah, I know. And instantly in my head, to this day, she's still hot.
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, she had a nice tuchus, because that's what I saw from that angle. And as far as I'm concerned, once you get past the butt, it's all window dressing anyway. So
did she have those tall boots?
Oh, yeah. like the chips boots. Yep. But anyway, and so here's this cop.
I know you're trying to move on. I'm still thinking of this chick motorcycle cop.
It's been 20 years. She's like 75 now.
Well, no, she's not. She's however old she was in your story.
All right. So she's probably 30 at the point, which put me at 22. So that would have been cool. I would have let her frisk me. But anyway, so there we are. Driver's trying to be real, really cool. I'm like sweating bullets because I am the only one in this vehicle going down. You know what I'm saying? If something goes wrong, these guys are going home scot-free. My ass is going to jail.
Okay, hang on.
Because I'm the only one old enough.
So you're the one that's going
to. I would have gone.
You're the one that's going to go down.
Oh, I would have gone down on her. Because like I said, from that, you know, once you get past the ass, it's all window dressing.
Was she wearing one of those motorcycle cop short skirts? With motorcycle cop fishnet stockings?
Yes, that's regulation. At least in 1990, right. It was regulation, you know, police wear.
And she also had leg warmers.
No, that would have been 1989.
Okay. All right, go on.
So anyway, like I said, I'm the only one going to jail at this point, and I'm sweating bullets. Well, the passenger, like I said, his IQ was like staggering. Right in the middle of this, while the driver is basically trying to be cool as a cucumber and not get in trouble, he turns to me and in the drunkest voice you could possibly, like the big, like Foster Brooks fucking drunk. He's like, "Dude, you gonna eat that other hamburger?" And I'm like, I gave him the shut the fuck up look. He did the whole turnaround and, like, sit in his chair quiet. It's like, fuck. We got down. Well, apparently, you know, like I said, the driver had a taillight out. And she let us go with a warning. And we got down to the beach, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, I could have gone to jail. So that was the point where I stopped buying minors alcohol. Because, clearly, they get
You could have gone to jail for... taillight being out, for illegal possession for possession of McDonald's hamburgers with intent to distribute because you had a whole goddamn bag of them.
That's right. the list of felonies I was committing that night were innumerable. So.
Oh, I'm still thinking about that chick motorcycle cop.
Yeah, me too sometimes.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, I know, right? It wouldn't happen in the port, I guarantee.
That big bag of hamburgers is The big bag of hamburgers, kind of, I like that idea. I never knew you did that. I would have been happy to buy a big bag of hamburgers with
you. You were off up to college.
I was up to college.
That's right. And we were just...
So speaking of being in college, it was about that time that went on a road trip with my buddy Garth, Greg, mm-hmm. and Rob. Mm-hmm. And we were on our way back, and it was late at night. We had gone to see a concert in some other college town, and we were starving. And we were high on life.
On life,
and somebody said,
cheaper.
Somebody said, pull into that Burger King, get a pile of hamburgers. It's like, okay. So they pull into the Burger King, pull up to the drive-thru. Welcome, Burger King. May I help you? Yeah, I'll give us a pile of hamburgers. Would you like a small pile or a large pile?
Large pile.
Okay, that'll be $10.95. We fall around. Like, I love the humor of that. We might not have been the first people to order a pile of hamburgers.
I'm thinking probably at the time of day or night that you ordered it, I'm sure that wasn't even their first pile of hamburgers that night.
So, the dating thing. Well, first of all, breaking up. I mean, at a certain age, you shouldn't have to deal with... There should never be a breakup. There should only be... Things have to change because of some extenuating circumstance.
Right.
All
right? Right.
But in your case, you are a man about town. You're a swinging bachelor.
That's
right.
You
know, swinging used to mean something different than it does now, so I don't think...
Yeah. When did that change? When did... Because a swinging bachelor back in the day, like, conjured up images of, like, dudes in bathrobes and pipes, you know, like, having, you know, sex with numerous women throughout the week. Not swinging...
What is that?
Not
the Vince Vaughn movie.
Oh, Swingers?
Swingers.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people that live in geodesic domes and have long flowing pants got excited when they heard that movie was coming out?
Right.
Like, finally, the mainstream.
Right. That movie was so good that you ran around for like a month calling your best friends like money.
You're so money and you don't even know.
That's
it.
Right.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
I don't have to watch that again.
Yeah.
But along the dating lines,
mm-hmm.
We talked a few weeks ago about being set up on blind dates.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that say? The reason I won't set people up on blind dates, I made an exception with you and MP Cavalier, but I knew you guys would hit it off. I just knew it.
And we did.
Plus, you're both like nines or tens in my book. So
you
can never go wrong setting up a nine or a ten with another nine.
You know
or
me
ten.
So well.
That's right. Have you... I can't do the stupid radio setup thing. So we agreed you would tell the story.
Oh, yeah.
About your
blind date
best
story.
Blind date ever.
Oh, yeah. I love this story. I'll tell this story to anybody. I'll tell it in church if I went to church. But
So wait. Let me do the radio thing. So have you ever had a blind date that maybe didn't go like you would have wanted it to?
Funny you should ask. Well, as I told my one friend, I have a buddy. He's like... You know, I'm 47, and thanks to, you know, what the kids today call tabletop role-playing games, I have friends whose ages span. Some of my friends could be my kids. They're just that young. And at 47, one day I told him, because he's 20, I think 19, 20 years old, I'm like...
And some of your kids could be your friends.
Yes, and indeed they are. But I told him, I'm like, dude, it never gets any easier. It only gets more complicated. Enjoy it now, because when you get older, shit gets more complicated. Right now you're thinking all like, fuck, I ain't never going to do that. That's not me. I'm all, everything's got to be that. No. The older you get, the more complicated everything gets. So enjoy it now. I wish somebody would have told us that like 20 years ago.
Somebody probably did.
Right. We were like, fuck you. We're not listening. 47-year-old
old man.
What ain't
gonna happen to us?
Of course, you know, my dad was my age when I was his age. So that's a whole other story. But no, my...
That's a good point.
That's right. My my blind date story. This is the only blind date I was ever on. And, you know, she brought her cane and everything.
Let's start at the beginning.
That was lame. All right, here's what happened. A friend of mine...
This was probably... One of your role-playing game friends? Or?
No. This was a friend...
Why don't you say the name and then bleep it out?
Well, what's sad is the friend that set me up on this, I don't even remember her name anymore. It's been like...
Oh, it was a girl.
Yeah. Well, what it was, all right, rewind about 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, I was in a writer's club. It was great. Some of my best friends to this day were members of it. Well, there was someone there that we had this weird May-December relationship without there being any May-December relationship involved in it. Because she was like my age now, and I was, you know, in my mid-20s. Well, all
right. So she was like December of the following year, and you were May. You were like May 2014.
Yes.
She was like
exactly.
December 2016. She was like 3008, and you were like 2000 and late.
Yes. Anyway, well, she felt. I don't know why she felt compelled to set me up with a friend of hers. Well, all I knew about her, and I'd talked to her on the phone briefly, because keep in mind, 20 years ago, pre-internet, there was phone conversations. And she had like this really good like phone sex voice. Well, and all I knew about her was she had a really good phone sex voice, and she was a redhead. Which redheads can go one of two ways. There's never like a middle ground. Well,
like, yeah, she was a redhead, kind of average looking. Nope,
never gonna happen.
she's a redhead and hideous, or redhead and hot.
Because the ancient astronaut is all or nothing when it comes to redheads. That was like his drawing line. So anyway, the fateful day occurred, and you know. I'm minding my own affairs, and there's a knock at my door. I open the door, and there was this, if you've seen the movie Brave, there's this just fucking beautiful redhead standing in my doorway. And I'm like, mind you, I hadn't discovered the ancient astronaut yet. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you. And I started talking to her. And then she pulls out, we're standing in the doorway. Then she pulls out fucking Watchtower paraphernalia.
Watchtower.
And tells me she's the Jehovah's Witness. And I'm like,
oh, God.
I'm like, wait a minute. I started laughing. I'm like, This was like pre-punked, pre any of that stuff. But you know, America's Funniest Home Candid videos were on. So
or
I candid was
camera with Alex,
I was certain
what's his name, Funk or whatever
Ed McMahon and anyway I was
what was that guy's name? He was the only other bald guy on TV.
Talis Savalas
besides Kojak.
Oh wait,
Alan Funk, fuck
Alan Flick? Fuck. No, he gets a lot of tail.
Somebody look that up. Hey, over there in the control room, look that up.
All right, they'll get on it and they'll get back to us. Anyway, she pulls out this Watchtower paraphernalia. And I'm like, I started laughing. I'm like, no way. I said, there is no way you're a Jehovah's Witness. I said, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, where's your gigantic big four-door Buick sedan? Oh, fuck. is sitting in the parking lot. I'm like, oh.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I said, I'm really not. I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to waste your time or anything. There's, you know, it's just, you know, I'm sorry. Well, so.
That is one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever heard.
Well, it's true. It was perfect.
You never told me that part.
I couldn't write this shit. It was so textbook funny as fuck. So anyway.
And then Alan Funt jumped out from behind a bush.
In the future, after the big war, there will come a time to rebuild and a need for a new and special kind of soldier.
This man is carrying a loaded weapon.
Prepare to meet the next great American hero.
That's where you come in.
Are you serious?
His name is...
Hell. Sam Hell.
Never heard of you.
We're going to Frogtown.
And this is the adventure he's been waiting for.
We're gonna get him out, and then you're gonna get him pregnant.
And if anyone's got a chance in hell of rescuing the virgins from the evil clutches of Toady...
It's a miracle.
Right. Let's go.
And escaping from Frogtown...
Go, 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 go!
It's Sam.
Shit. Holy shit!
Be there for the action. The adventure.
Oh, Sam!
What are you doing?
And be there for the dance of the three snakes.
Dance? Or die!
We're all gonna die.
When hell comes to Frogtown. Starring Rowdy Roddy Piper as Sam.
Get off!
You are one weird dude.
Sandal Bergman as Nurse Spangle.
Wired to blow.
Hell comes to Frogtown.
Eat lamp, froggies!
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. We have lots still left to tell you. Of course, if you're hating this show, don't worry. Less than 30 minutes to the Do It Indie Radio Hour. But we hope you love it. And if you don't, or you do, either way, tell us. And if you love it, tell a friend. Before we took the break, you had just opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you knew about your blind date was she was redhead.
A redhead, right? Yes.
So you opened the door, standing in your doorway was over five feet of delicious.
Yeah, she's probably 5'2", just completely, I don't know, I can't even think of. Someone, just imagine
you have that light skin that
really great
do.
Porcelain skin. Yep, and that like really kinky, like
porcelain.
Just and the hair caught like the waning light just right. It was just like amazing.
It was like strawberries surrounding alabaster.
That's right, strawberries. I want to put my dick in.
I'm gonna put my dick in your hair.
I'm not beyond that.
So she pulls out. So just as your dick's getting hard, thinking about how much you're gonna owe your friend that set you up with her,
right?
For the rest of your life, you're gonna wash her feet every morning and make her pancakes.
I would do things to her feet that are illegal in several states, including Alaska and Hawaii.
Wow, nothing's illegal in Alaska and Hawaii. One of my favorite things is that you laugh at her.
Yeah, I did too. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm thinking my friend, like, who she had a pretty good sense of humor. I'm like, I'm thinking, yeah. You know, no, but yes.
Chapter one ends. You're sitting around. 10 minutes later, another knock and or ring
at
the door.
It was a knock. Well, no, it wasn't actually. Right. I saw her pull in. And the other thing I didn't know was that she drove like I think it was a Volvo or no, it was like a Taurus or something like that. And I'm like, oh, well, that's her. So I went out, you know, to meet her. And
you're like, hey, she's probably also a beautiful redhead.
Right. I would have settled for, well, there's no such thing as an okay redhead. as we've lost our redhead demographic. Anyway.
Well, only the ugly ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The beautiful ones aren't going to go like, well, he's not talking about me. They're not going to even think that twice about that. Oh, no, they'll have an accent. They're like, he's certainly not talking about me. Because they're all Irish for some reason in my head. So anyway, so I go out and I meet her.
All right, go on.
I go out and I meet her, and I'm just like, it is the exact 180-degree opposite experience. Now, I'm not a shallow person. I was back then. I'm kind of shallow now because I'm older and can afford to be. But I just remember thinking, all right, you can do this. You know, you talk to her. She seems pretty cool. You know, go out and have some fun. All right. Well, the weird thing was she'd talked to me before. I almost said messaged, because we're just geared that way. She asked me. She's like, "Well, on the way, because we went out to eat." She's like, "Do you care if we stop by? I don't even remember the name of the used car lot." She's like, "Because I want to check out this car and I need a guy along to basically so I don't get taken advantage of." And I'm like, "Wait, I'm like, lady, you're talking to the wrong guy, because."
So you're like, I take chicks with me to buy.
So here's
cars,
what I did.
So I don't get.
I walked around. I kicked the tires on the car. Didn't say nothing, and mean mugged the guy as he was trying to sell his car. Well, we took it for a test drive. We dropped the guy off. We go to this. You know, I can't even call it a restaurant. It was a diner. And we're sitting there. And. Like, the whole time we're sitting there looking at the menu, she's talking about how she doesn't eat much. And she has a glandular problem.
Of course.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, you know, I understand, you know, whatever. Well, the waiter comes around, and she orders, like an 8-egg omelet. And like a chocolate malted.
Bring me a bucket.
Yeah, and like a chocolate malted, and like some hash browns, and like just an enormous amount of food. Well, I ordered a salad. You know, because I figure all my money is going to her food, so I better eat something small. Well, the whole time we're like. You know, sitting there waiting for the food to show up. She's going on and on and on about her ex-boyfriend. And I'm like, this is not what you talk about on a first date.
True.
You know, and she's going on and on about how she still loved him and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And I'm doing the thing. Well, eventually the food shows up. I mean, and, like, she ate it like it was the first time she'd eaten in a week. And just, I mean, with one big suck. You know, she let me have a little of the chocolate malted. But like, with one big suck, the thing was empty. And we're talking, like, the big metal jars that they bring out. You know, that, like, they could put, like, a corpse, like, you know, like, ashes in this thing. It's an urn. And... So, I watched in amazement and bemusement as she sucked down this chocolate malted.
Bedazzlement.
Yes. And it was at that point...
Okay, so there is something to be said. The larger women are better at sucking in general because they try harder.
Well, I'm sure she was great at it. I mean... I'm almost positive she was great at it, but I was young and
But I'll never know because I won't eat the filthy motherfucker.
That's right. You know, when you're younger, you have zero tolerance for shit. When you get older, you're like, maybe we'll stick around and see how this works out. Because death is right around the corner. And I don't know. I'm rushing this stuff. So anyway, I finally had had enough. I excused myself from the table under the guise that I had to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, came out, went up to the cash register, paid the bill, and fucking left. I'm like, no. And now, you know, you can judge, whatever. You don't know me. You can't do what I do. I'm taking you out. I'm paying for everything. I'm not expecting anything on the first date, but what I am expecting is for you not to be talking about your ex-boyfriend that you still love. Well,
right.
So I basically, you know, split, ran across the street to the mall. I called Carl, and we went out and hung out the rest of the night. And all I could do,
I could just see you.
He just sat there and laughed
running across
the
street.
the whole night. I'm like, why is this sheet? And I'm like,
did you call Carl?
Unbelievable.
Actually, you should have called Carl and said, you could have called Carl and said, all right, there's this girl at that diner. She's all by herself.
I probably could have.
Go sit down.
Helped him out.
Tell her your name's Paul because she didn't pay enough attention to me to notice the difference.
That's right. You know, we wore glasses. We had similar haircuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that's like the one.
Pathetic.
The one. Okay. There's like a minute level of guilt I feel for it, but I didn't like leave her with the bill. So.
Yeah. Is that the girl that killed herself a couple days later?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you should hold yourself, like, you shouldn't blame yourself for
that. Oh, I don't.
It's not like you handed her the gun.
That's right.
And said, kill yourself.
Especially when she did it with autoerotic asphyxiation.
Exactly. If I die that way, by the way, my request is that somebody, it doesn't have to be you, somebody at my funeral has to say, well, at least he died doing what he
right.
loved.
But can a woman, I mean, has there ever been a case where, like, a woman has died doing that? You know?
I don't think women do that.
But it's been my experience that some
That's
women
a man
do.
Thing.
Really? Because it's been my experience some women do like being choked. So maybe it's never been recorded that they're into that.
Well, how would that even work?
Well, you know, I mean, one hand's there, the other hand's around the neck. They get going, and it like cramps up and chokes them. They choke themselves to death, or they hang themselves
no.
from a noose.
No, that ain't happening. Women who like getting choked get someone else to choke them.
Yeah, but still, they could die from it.
Men. Well, you make a good argument with your yeah, but still. But I'm going to come back with a... I'm just saying. All right, there's this movie I've been hearing about. I haven't even seen the trailer yet.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on me. It's called Batman versus Superman, or maybe it's called Superman versus Batman. I'm not sure which.
Right.
What? Okay, as a layman, a casual observer...
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a Predator versus Alien thing? Or a Jason versus Freddy thing? What the fuck?
No.
Superman versus Batman.
Well, here's how it breaks down. When they reinvented the DC universe back in the late 80s, they decided that Batman and Superman would be at odds with each other for how they handle crime fighting. Which I don't understand. I never did understand. Because they're both acting outside of the law. Up until that point, Batman wasn't the stone cold, horrible, like, Spectre that you see now. You know, they changed him into that in the mid to late 80s. So I never understood why they did that. The other thing I don't understand, and we actually, some friends of mine and I actually talked about it this weekend, was like, all right, so we're assuming in the DC universe there's other superpowered characters. So you have this ultra-powerful alien who can basically melt you with a look, could basically lift a building and throw it in space. Bullets bounce off.
Can fly around the Earth so fast that he makes it go backwards so that we go back in time.
Could lift buildings. Could jump over buildings. Could do anything.
In a single bound.
And could do...
faster than a speeding bullet.
More powerful than a locomotive. So, let's not call the Green Lantern, or let's not call Dr. Fate, who is like the most powerful sorcerer in the DC universe. Let's call a guy who dresses up like a bat to stop him. Because that makes total sense.
Okay, so is what you're saying the premise of this Batman versus Superman movie is Superman's out of control and they call Batman to come stop him?
I don't know exactly, but what I do know is, okay, it's the sequel to Man of Steel, the shirt you're wearing. And the idea being, a lot of people got pissed off. Okay, first of all, I didn't really care for Man of Steel for a number of reasons. Reason number one, Kevin Costner. But
what's the basic premise of Man of Steel? I might be wearing the shirt. That doesn't mean I've seen the movie.
The basic premise is, okay, you remember Superman 2 where like the three Kryptonians showed up and tried to take over the world?
Yeah, Richard Pryor was getting freaked out and making
jokes.
No,
that's like Superman 4.
Oh.
Or 3. Anyway, General Zod and his cronies show up in Superman 2 and essentially try to take over the world. Well, they kind of recreated...
That's where Gene Hackman was involved in that one.
Well,
right?
he tried to instigate it, yeah. Well, in Man of Steel, okay. Man of Steel is kind of like a retelling of that story. Where,
okay,
Zod shows up and, like Metropolis is pretty much destroyed, and in the fight, and the big beef that a lot of people had, and my beef is a whole different story, but the big beef that a lot of people had with Man of Steel was, okay, the Metropolis is pretty much destroyed, and they don't address the fact that it's because of Superman. Now, the way it's explained to me is in Batman vs. Superman, or whatever the fuck it's called, it addresses that situation. You know, where they're basically trying to take Superman from being, like, you know, this, like, you know, Jesus savior figure and, you know, make the world think we don't need this type of monstrosity on our planet. And, of course, Batman gets called in. Not just Batman, but Ben Affleck, Batman. So right away, I'm not watching this movie. That's the premise of Batman versus Superman or whatever it's called. Is Superman Batman has to knock Superman down a peg or two.
Right. So he's going to take one of his. He's a normal man who dresses up like a bat. And has gadgets. She's like James Bond in a costume.
Essentially, yes.
And he's going to go stop Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, that's a slightly jaundiced definition of Batman.
Jaundiced.
Now, Batman...
it's slightly yellow.
Yes. Batman is...
It's yellow because it's like full circle because... Jaundice has to do with the liver and liver not functioning properly, which is how we started the show. Right.
It also has to do with a narrow point of view of something.
I thought it was... is it really? Let me look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me have someone in the control room look that up.
Yeah, somebody over there, you know, you interns, earn your pay and look it up.
No shit. It's about time they did something besides bring donuts. You're right. Bitterness, resentment, or envy.
Right. All right.
How could I ever doubt you?
I don't know. Would I ever, would I ever steer you wrong?
All right, so that's Batman versus Superman. Right. Shall we do a few alternate song titles?
Yeah, we should probably do alternate song titles and then call it a night.
All right, play the alternate song title theme song.
I'll be like Paul Shaver. This is the alternate song title, yeah. Because he always has like really weak song titles.
This is the alternate song title song. It isn't very long. Let's gather around the alternate song title and sing an alternate song title song. An alternate song title song. And if you don't think that we can sing it faster, then you're right.
Dude, you're so much a dad. Let you know. I know exactly what you were doing.
I love the campfire song.
All right.
There's nothing better, man. Except maybe Krusty Krab pizza.
I won't. Don't get me started.
Okay.
All right.
So here's how we play this game. All right. You have two or three alternate songs.
I've written two down. Yeah.
So you have two. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you one.
Okay.
And if you guess it, you get a point. And then you give me one, and if I guess it, I get a point, right?
All
right. So we just keep going back and forth until somebody wins.
Okay.
Well, or until we run out of alternate song titles.
Right.
Whoever has the most points wins.
All right.
Like in mini games.
Right.
All right. You ready? You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. Yep. You ready? City near the chicken ranch.
City near the. I'm like. What is it? I mean, city near the chicken ranch.
That's it.
All right, city near the chicken ranch. I'm gonna say LaGrange.
And I'm gonna say you're right.
1 point.
Talking about that.
Whoop, whoop.
Check outside the city near the chicken ranch.
Right.
They got a lot of nice girls. Ha! How?
Right. This is an easy one. Ambulate in the manner which is demonstrated by yours truly.
All right, so with the ambulate, I'm going to go with it's got to be something like move or get around or get down or do something to do with moving. And a manner to emulate me is like me. So I've never heard of a song called Move Like Me.
So, you're so close.
I get dance like me, jump around like me, get around like me.
What does ambulate mean?
It means to move.
Or more specifically,
move urgently?
in a linear fashion.
In a linear fashion. Like me. run around like me? Run? Shit, I'm horrible at this game.
You invented it.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did.
Or you started
I'm
it.
I'm good at it.
That's right.
Who do you think I am, the architect? All right. I give up.
All right. Ambulate in a manner which is demonstrated by yours truly. Walk this way.
Oh, man. That's pretty damn good.
I did that one specifically because you could never get it right. You would always see like, walk like this and talk like this.
You threw me off when you said I was close. Anyway. All right. So I'm going to have to give you a hard one. The thing you did that thing where you go, oh, this is an easy one.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make me feel like an idiot.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for playing along. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. On behalf of the police, Snoop Dogg, and CNC Music Factory, also on behalf of the architect, but especially on behalf of my good buddy Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. Do It Indie Radio Hour is next. Stick around. Nothing you just heard was true.
And we got the power.
I'm old.